Previously on 24.
There's a convoy missing. It was headed from Illinois to Jefferson City, Iowa. It disappeared just inside the border.
Disappeared?
They were due to call in at their checkpoint every 20 minutes. They didn't. I tried to reach them from ComSat. There was no reply.
What was on the trucks?
A nuclear warhead.
They found us.
Where are you?
It doesn't matter. It's over. They're gonna get us.
You have to kill Prado. He knows too much.
Drop the gun!
Put the gun down! Put the gun down!
Who are you?
My name's Joe Prado. I'm innocent.
Mr. Prado's rights will not be violated. Take me to him now.
We have no choice, Curtis. Do what he says.
There's a nuclear warhead missing. This is our only lead, Bill.
What the hell's going on here? You've got a key witness and a missing warhead. We should be pressing this guy with everything we've got.
Jack, it's Mike Novick.
Mike, if we want to procure any information from this suspect, we're going to have to do it behind closed doors.
You're talking about torturing this man?
I'm talking about doing what is necessary to stop this warhead from being used against us.
All right, gentlemen. I'll have an answer for you in 20 minutes.
Mr. President, this thing could be over in 20 minutes.
What if I could find another way to handle this that wouldn't implicate anyone else but me?
I'm not going to authorize that, Jack.
You don't have to.
What do you mean?
Accept my resignation.
And if I do that, what then?
Release the suspect.
I mean, now you're throwing me out?
That's right.
Make a sound, and I will blow your brains out all over the windshield.
Where is he?
I don't know!
Where is he now? Here's my wife!
Okay. Mawa's gonna be at a place called the Hub tonight.
Where is it?
Where is it?
It's just east of downtown!
This will help you with the pain.
The following takes place between...
My name is Paul Gadd. I'm the co-producer on 24.
And my name's Kenneth Cobet, and I mix the sound effects, and my partner, Mike Ullman, does the dialogue, but he's not with us.
Put me through to the White House. No, not the president, Mike Novick.
Yeah, I was just noticing, just right off the bat, that he's on the phone, which is pretty much how the show gets from place to place, is via cell phone or walkie-talkie. There's a lot, and that's in the business, is called futzing, and futzing is to make a normal voice sound as though it's coming off of a small speaker or a telephone or an electronic device, and this show is full of that. Electronic devices that Lucas hasn't even thought of are in this show. And that's all of that dialogue that you hear is recorded flat and sounds just like this that you're listening to now until it's put through equalization and filters, which is done at the sound mix level.
You want to utilize LAPD?
I'm having him locked down a 10-block perimeter.
I don't think that's the right call. Marwan's people are coming and going. We lock down that area, we just give them...
And Paul would back me up on the fact that it's very difficult to get the sound of a phone that is convincing, and yet that still allows the dialogue to be clear enough to understand and play over the music and any other effects.
And one of the things we always do in this show is we record all of the other side of the phone conversation. And generally, we always want to be able to hear it, or we want to hear a sense of it. A lot of times, other shows won't play anything on the other side of the telephone if we're not seeing that person. But unless it's a story point that we're going to give away, we generally do hear the other side of the phone conversation.
It's always scripted, yeah.
Trust me, no one understands the consequences.
The other also side of sound on this show is that what's recorded production-wise is the voice, the dialogue, and that's what they go for. That's what Bill Gokey, the sound mixer, is shooting for.
Whatever it's worth.
So everything else you hear, any other sound, down to the footstep, to the obvious explosions, that's all added, just like a film.
Yeah, just the scene that we just saw there in the locker room when they were all getting ready. Actually, when they were shooting that, all of the background actors were being intentionally very quiet so that they didn't interfere with the dialogue that was being recorded on set, which was the conversation between Jack and Curtis. So all of the we call it, it's called Walla, which is we add later, which are the background voices of the people talking, the locker doors slamming, people cocking their guns, putting things in bags. All of that, those sound effects and voices were added in post. But when we're shooting, it's very important that we get the dialogue as clean as possible. And all of the other sound effects can be laid on top of that. But if you have a noise, whether it's a door close or a foot scuff on a piece of dialogue, it can really make some of the dialogue hard to hear at times. And
that can cause actually the dialogue to be obscured, where that brings in ADR, which is the replacement of that dialogue line. So during shooting, you would think with your handycam at home, you get everything when you roll your tape and you've got people splashing in a pool at your barbecue and everything comes on when you put it in your TV. And that's absolutely the opposite of what needs to occur at this level. We can't have any of the noises in the background, but you have to have all the people, all the actors acting as though they're talking, acting as though they're walking or running. And you can't have that come across in the dialogue. Because otherwise you'd spend too much time replacing all the dialogue because there's too much noise on it.
And sometimes we do have too much noise. I mean, it's not uncommon in CTU for people to be having a phone conversation or two people having a conversation, and there's a room full of extras there moving in the background. And just the level of the noise of the extras moving around, as well as sometimes the camera crew moving around on the set, can be more noise than we can take. And when that happens, we re-record the dialogue.
Right.
And that's called ADR, for automated dialogue replacement, where the actors will come into a studio and they'll watch the picture in front of them, and they'll have a headset on where they can hear their production dialogue, and they will then re-record those lines and try and get the same inflections and the same tone. They have to match their tone, their level. It's a very technical process. It's quite different than what they initially do on set.
And it could be quite a time difference. They may have shot this and weeks later done the ADR.
Yeah.
So to remember your emotion and inflection is much more difficult.
And generally we try and really not do any on very emotional scenes because of that. It can be very difficult for those, an actor, when they don't have the act, they do that just themselves on the stage. They don't have the other actors to play with to get to the same emotional place they had been.
Probably also noticed that every phone in CTU and for the terrorists is the phone that we all wish we had, because it goes everywhere. You never get a dropped call. The batteries last forever. So we always really love the phones that CTU has and that the terrorists have, because they're quite amazing. The reception is just global, which is pretty good.
That's true. And I don't know if you just wanted to think of this prop here. This is the same bomb we used in season 2 when the nuclear bomb went off. Yes, like the different.
I thought Mason took that one into Palmdale.
It's a different casing, but it is it's the same bomb.
Yes. How long will that take?
An hour, maybe less.
And you should start.
So you probably hear the phone, obviously, is incessantly ringing.
She'll leave a message.
Just right there. And in real life, your phone wouldn't change volume of the ring if you start talking. And that's obviously a product of the mix. It's you want the phone to ring and you want to keep hearing it, but dialogue has to be the number one sound that you always hear. So everything has to go underneath the actor's speaking parts.
I found something on your computer, Sabir. A bookmark.
And also music, which this show is very packed full of, is a huge element that keeps the story alive. And everything needs to work within those layers. And they trade off. Music can be more important than effects. It can sometimes overcome dialogue. In other scenes, the effects can come up and obliterate the music. And dialogue, once again, can be the only thing you hear. stylistically, you can have all sound drop away. And that's why it's real important when it's shot that dialogue's clean. So we can have those options. We can look at a scene and go, well, right here, while the office might be busy, right out from where they are, which there's background people and it's a busy scene, for this moment, we don't want to hear anybody. We don't want to hear anything. Just a little music and Audrey, who's being pretty intense.
Policy and politics do not always work on the front line, which is where we are today.
But you could play this scene completely differently. You could play the scene chaotically in the background, where these guys are trying to have a discussion, but there's a lot of activity going on behind them, which would change the emotion, would give it more of a urgency, maybe. With clean dialogue, you can play the sound against the words and augment the writing, which is what we're all going for, is to tell the story.
Yeah, and it really, we, you know, cheat reality all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We want the show to sound real, to seem real, but there are other times, and you'll see later in this episode, where it's completely unrealistic. But that's what you do with audio, is you want to lead the audience one way or the other, and to help them pay attention to what they need to pay attention to and not pay attention to what they don't need to pay attention to. And as we mentioned earlier, we have a lot of music in this show. We have more music in 24 than I think most shows on television. We typically, I think Sean does.
Sean Callery, the composer,
does over 35 minutes of music
a
week in a show that's 43 minutes long. And a lot of that, as you will see now, is something like there is in this scene, where it's a low pad that really doesn't interfere with the scene and the dialogue, but it helps push it along. It helps keep things moving just a little bit, keeps the intensity there.
Now, Sean's style, which evolved in this series, is the ebb and flow and really the breathing of the show. And it's become something that you may not notice, but the music is definitely taking you along for a ride, along with everything else. And that's again, the final mix, all the pieces coming together, where it all is working together instead of fighting. The music isn't fighting for attention here, but it's here, and it's important. And when it needs to get bigger, it is. It's there.
What does that mean?
So the ability to manipulate every sound down to someone walking is key to the mix. It's really what we're doing for this show.
Dealt with immediately. Anything less he will take is a personal repudiation of his presidency.
Okay, what's more important, the president's feelings or capturing the man who's responsible for everything that's happened today?
I hear what you're saying, Bill.
Just for an idea of what we're talking about, all these elements, the only thing I could think of delivery-wise, Pro Tools is a very common piece of prosumer gear. And we use, of course, Pro Tools for effects. I have 4 Pro Tools HD systems delivering up to 180 tracks. And when you get to episode 24 of this season, which is the final hour, we used 190 inputs, which is it's a lot of tracks for a TV show. And that's effects only. Sean will deliver on Pro Tools. I believe he delivers 16 to 20 tracks of music. Then dialogue is another 16 with 880R on top of that. Foley's 8 tracks. Foley is the actual walking of the actors. Like right here, Jack's walking in a parking lot.
Walking can also be when they're picking up things or setting down.
Right, Foley's also props, like his gun right there, up on the hood of the car. anything that you can handle that's a small pencil, a utensil, something that you would pick up with your hands, that's a prop, and your feet are Foley. It's all called Foley for the man who came up with the term. But it's all something that we want to add. We don't want to capture this on the microphone if we can avoid it while they're talking again. So Chloe typing, there's somebody actually typing for her cleanly with nothing else going on. And I get that track of Chloe typing, and I put it in when we need it, and I leave it out when we don't.
Right. It's bad news when they type over their dialogue, then you have to have them record their dialogue because they're oftentimes, if they're typing loudly.
Where'd you go to grad school?
Berkeley Tech.
We were both studying engineering. He's been traveling a lot lately, business trips, he said. I'm not sure why I looked, probably because of everything that's been going on today.
One thing interesting about this scene, if you go to the deleted scenes, you will see that this scene did not... Chloe was not initially in this scene. Initially, this woman was put into a terrorist expert who was a woman we had never met before in CTU, and she was a Muslim woman who wore a traditional Muslim outfit with the headdress and everything, and she initially fielded this call and then sent it up to Chloe, but after that was shot, and it was decided that it's a little distracting having this woman show up in CTU for one episode who we had never seen, to have this scene, and she had a bit with Edgar as well, where he was a little upset that his mother had been killed by the terrorist, and her brother had been killed back in wherever they were from. Her brother had been killed by the terrorists as well, so they found out they had something in common. But it was a storyline that was dropped completely, because it did seem to stick out and seem odd that this Muslim woman with a headdress who we had never seen before would suddenly pop up in such a prominent role. So check out the DVD for those deleted scenes.
This
kind
is
of
the DVD.
Kind of interesting. The other DVD, the one with the deleted
scenes. Oh, that's right.
Jack, you got me?
Yeah.
Buchanan wants to talk to you.
No.
He says it's urgent.
Now, this is also interesting as from a sound perspective. This was kind of tough and definitely where reality was cheated, I think, here in this nightclub.
Yeah.
Where...
this was a huge build.
Where Marwan had gone into this nightclub to record this a terrorist message, as you will see. But they had to be played from many perspectives.
Everything that you hear, especially in situations like where Jack's down in the... he's trying to get into the air vent. Then you're going to pop to Marwan's room where he's taping his message. Then you go out to the main dance floor right here. All these scenes are hyper-real. We take what we know, which is a club is very loud. Of course, when you're on the floor, it's much louder than it would be in the basement. But you have to really heighten that sense of where they are so that it comes across on television.
Right, and the big cheat is here, is you just noticed, they just walked through the kitchen door of the club, which is from the dance floor. They just walked into this kitchen where reality, it would still be quite loud in here, the music, but you'll notice you hardly hear anything. Because we had to bring the dialogue down so that he'd give the speech and we could keep the focus on Marwan and this threat, and to keep that intense. And it certainly would have been diluted with a thumping soundtrack.
Which is still going very, very low underneath what you hear score-wise. And Sean Callery, again, has this Marwan-type theme. Each big character tends to pick up a theme. Jack has kind of a heroic theme. Definitely Marwan this season had this very identifiable theme musically. But very faintly underneath this, you can hear the beat of the club.
And here we've lost the score completely because we're off
with
Marwan.
Right, we let the club take over.
Here, even though we are much further away from the dance floor than the kitchen was,
right,
you're hearing it more.
But manipulating where you want the viewer to be is what it's all about. And making the show tell the story in unreal circumstances is always the challenge. And a lot of the fun.
Yeah. I mean, and again, some score coming in here again.
You can hear Jack walking around down here. The camera's in the vent. And you hear a lot of echo. Every time he touches something, you'll hear that it sounds like he's in a tunnel. That's all added. That's all. It's called reverb. And if, when they shoot the production, if he really has reverb on his voice, if he's on a very large stage, we can't get rid of that. It has to stay with the voice. And so anything we add needs to match that reverb.
Or
in this case, there was none. And so it was all added to give you that sense of being down there in the ventilation system. And we can control all of those parameters. We can control how much, how big of the room, how long the reverb's going to last, how short. All of that can be controlled and is what we do. And this show definitely, as a series, is fantastic from a sound mixing perspective, because we go to different locations constantly. We're constantly going to different places like this. We're going to be in this club for 10 minutes or so, and yet we have to create it, and we'll never be back here again, where a lot of shows, you can end up going to the same bar, you know, hey, cheers, or whatever. It's the same sound, and once you've established what that bar sounds like, every time they enter it, it's the same. With 24, while you have CTU, and that is established, there are very few places they ever go back to. And each time you go, even this parking lot that they're standing in, it's completely unique sound-wise. You can do anything you want because you've never been there before. And it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of work to come up every episode with what everything sounds like.
Yeah. The other thing about this club in particular, if you listen to the music very carefully, you will notice it's the 24 theme.
Yeah.
It is Armin van Buuren. Is a well-known DJ who did a remix of the 24 theme for the soundtrack. It was not released on the American version of the soundtrack, but was released on the London, UK version of the soundtrack. And we thought he did a great job with it, and we thought, boy, what a fun place to use it, especially for fans of the show, who, if you listen really carefully, you can hear that it is the 24 theme that he has done a remix with.
And I'm trying to remember how many minutes long, because it does carry all through this entire sequence, the one song.
Yeah.
It's still going.
The song is about 10 minutes long,
at least.
The remix. And I think the very first time we come here in the first scene, it's not the theme when the guys first show up at the club. It's another piece of music that Sean did. But we used it from here on out to the end. It's the remix.
Hold on, I got a visual on Marwan. I have a visual on Marwan. He is in the building. Damn it, they know we're here. Everybody move on the building.
Our cover's blown. Everyone go. Go, 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 go.
Hear the switch between Jack's perspective to the club. Hopefully you're watching this in 5.1, because it's
the best way to listen to
really,
it.
It's mixed. It was the first show, television show, to be mixed from the pilot in 5.1. Even though it didn't air, season 1 never aired in 5.1. We mixed it in 5.1 purely for the fact that we knew it was going to eventually get there, transmission-wise. Also for the fact that DVDs were going to be made.
Definitely the best way to hear the show.
It's, you really get the sense of what we're going for with the discrete surrounds and a bass thump track, because the sub has a lot of information going in there. the locations really come to life in surround. We have a lot more constraints when you're not in 5.1 for broadcast, so things can't seem quite as big when you broadcast it, and that's a technical limitation of the transmission process. But on the DVDs, this is as we mixed it where we would want the levels to be. It's much bigger than what you would get at home, for sure, no question. Yeah.
And during this explosion on set, when we did this, Kiefer actually, if you were watching there closely, you can see he got hit by a piece of that brick wall, which is probably cork or some other, you know, not too heavy material, but it's certainly being propelled at quite the speed and hit Kiefer in the head. Oh, he wasn't injured. He was slightly annoyed, I think. Hazards of being a hero.
That's right. The concept of the show originally, from the pilot, the sound was absolutely in the forefront.
Yeah,
It certainly is hugely important in the storytelling to maintain the energy of the series.
I don't know if it's
but musically and effects wise, it's still support. But I would say it's a big part of the show. But I don't think the picture is written with sound in mind.
No. And I mean, there are a lot of times where these guys come up with great, whether it's Jeff Witcher coming up with a great sound effect, or the way Ken and Mike mix it, or the way Kathy cuts the ADR lines. Is there are a lot of times, you know, things that nobody's heard, and we get to the mix stage and listen to it, and it's like, oh, that's a really nice surprise. It was a great ad, something that hadn't been added until the last minute. But I mean, there's a lot of important roles on our show. I mean, the camera work is amazing, and it really gives you that voyeuristic feel, like you're there, which is important, the intensity of it. And that's certainly a signature of the show, as well as the editorial is another, you know, signature aspect of the show.
The aspect of sound is matching what picture-wise they've got going on with multiple scenes up at the same time. What do you play? So while sound is very important, it is following 100% what the picture editor has put out there, and then ultimately what the story is saying. So I think it's still a very visually written show. However, sound has its moments. In this show, sound is a big player. No doubt. I mean, from a mixed perspective, we don't really even know where we are in the season, time-wise, as far as... we don't know really what's occurred prior to it getting to us. But you will notice that you get into the groove once you start going. Certainly this year, there was no preemptions, and you really didn't have time to waste between... When we worked on it and air, we were mixing ahead of air, but not a big cushion there. So.
No, one of the things we constantly have done this year that we haven't done as much in the past of is the number of reshoots and little scenes that we'll add. As I mentioned earlier, the piece with the Muslim girl in CTU and that was cut. After it was shot, some of the scenes were eliminated. Others were reshot with Chloe. Having the important lines that she'd helped to keep the story moving along, slightly rewritten. Also, there was another piece that we just picked up at the end where the Secret Service agents arrested Jack that was not initially shot, and we had to pick up at a later date. I think as we go through here, I can kind of point out what were some of the additional scenes, but that constantly keeps us guessing as to how long the show? We have to deliver a certain length of show to Fox, and we always have to make sure we're there. And sometimes additional scenes are written because they don't work as well as we would have liked, as in the Muslim scene. Other times, because we cut the show very tight so that it keeps it moving, it keeps the intensity up. We end up short and have to pick up an additional scene just to help us get to length.
Three presidents in as many hours.
When it hits the stage, the mixing stage, everyone but the mixers has had a chance to see it at least once.
Right.
However, you haven't seen it perhaps with the final visual effects until we get it, and sometimes that's either doesn't work or something didn't get done, or someone watching the playback decides that the order of the scenes was better in a version they saw
Yeah, that's not uncommon.
A few times
for,
back.
Not uncommon for us either, that Joel, our executive producer, will see during the playback and he'll go, you know what, let's change a line here, mm-hmm. or let's change a cut here, or let's move these two scenes. So at that point, we have to go back and re-edit it and then bring the show back to the stage and remix it.
Not a lot of time between when we mix it, like I was saying, between mix and air. It's roughly a week. But you have to deliver it. If it airs on Monday, you have to deliver it by Friday, correct? Or
yeah, we generally, although we did have a little more time ahead of air this year than we have in the past, but because the last two episodes were airing as a pair, we were all sort of a week ahead.
Right.
But yeah, we usually deliver the show on Thursday this year for a Monday air.
So changes can cut into that time.
Yeah.
But they are possible.
Always.
Can occur.
Always happen until we're always glad to see the show on the air on Monday night because we know then the changes are done.
You run the effort to recover the stolen weapon and be in place to make whatever decisions need to be made.
Yeah, this season they brought in all these characters from previous seasons one at a time.
Yeah, this is a big moment. This was the reveal of Palmer coming back.
He feels he may not be up to the task. This country is very possibly about to face the worst terrorist.
Where was that set for Palmer's, where he was? Is that like...
It was here.
Before I do anything, I want to speak to President Logan face to face.
Fair enough.
What was that, an old set? Sometimes you reuse a hotel room.
Yeah, we reuse a lot of sets. I think this probably was what was used as part of the White House earlier. It was part of the hotel room where Jack and Audrey first were at the top of the season.
And Air Force One, I know it's not in this particular episode, but that plane mock-up is...
That's here on stage.
...based on pretty good information, if I understand.
Well, there's a real Air Force One mock... Well, I say real Air Force, so there is a mock-up here in town that is used by West Wing, and a lot of people... use it, and we've shot there several times, but this year, if you notice, Air Force One was pretty much isolated to that one conference room on the airplane, which we built here on stage, because when you were going to be spending so much time in there.
You're free to go. I am genuinely sorry about all this.
It doesn't really help us with our situation, does it? We had Mar-1. Any sign of them?
We have people all over the tunnels. So far, nothing.
We had him. Damn it, we had him!
Hey, they're not finished searching the tunnels.
If you haven't found him yet, you're not going to. Too many ways in, too many ways out. See if you have any new leads on Mar-1 or the warhead.
No.
Great. Now, all of the voices you hear here, whether it be those SWAT agents there in the background who were getting ready to leave, or people, the background voices in CTU, or that's called our loop group, and Lee French runs our loop group. It's her group, and an amazingly talented group of actors who come in and they ad-lib all of the background stuff. They've all been doing the show since the pilot. And so they all know the show. They know all the technical details. They're really good. But they fill in all of these voices in the back that are then sent to the mix stage and can be put in where we need them.
And that, actually, the ad-libs are based on real terms and situations that you have specialists, that consultants that give you, or them.
Yeah, they do a lot of
information that is accurate, though, is what I'm...
Right, when Air Force One crashed, they actually found an aviation map, plotted out where the plane was going down so that the pilots, when you heard the pilot voices talking about the plane going down, they had a precise location in mind, try and make it as authentic as possible. And that's all done in layers. In CTU, they'll do sort of a general wall of murmur group. Then they'll do specific couples you might see in the background as two people walk by having a conversation. They'll do a specific pass on those people so that when we mix the show, those two people can be panned across the room as they walk. If you're outside someplace, they might do a pass of call-outs. So they're all a little louder. Things will poke out a little more.
Hi.
And when we have, we bring in some actors who speak Arabic when they're needed, or whatever language we might need, we bring them in to do the background voices in that language.
Yeah, a lot of effort goes into making things accurate. Certainly with the fighter pilots, episode 6, that the Marines came in with the helicopters to liberate the Secretary of Defense and Jack. That was actual Marines flying those choppers. And although it was all revoiced and the radio chatter was all replaced by us, it was correct. It was something that Marines would address each other as, and the commands they give each other are correct. Same with what you were talking about, the background voices. While you may not be able to understand what they're saying, in the event that you could, that it does come out, it's not something that doesn't make any sense with what you're watching. And that takes an extra step of caution and care to just be able to put it in and know that it's going to be correct. And 24 is certainly not unique in that aspect, but it does, everything takes time. You have to write out a lot of information, and the loop group does a lot of that.
Yeah, they do a lot of hard work and write a lot of stuff for us.
Somewhere in the Iowa region with the warhead.
This woman who gave you the tip, is she local?
Yes, Los Feliz. She says that the rest of the files in his hard drive are locked. If that's the case, we're going to need a specialist.
We're going to need to send the team over there as soon as possible to see what else we can dig up on him.
All right. Chloe, I want you over there.
What?
Take a team with you. Let's get on this.
Oh, I'm not a field agent. I don't do that.
Chloe, we need a specialist on this. You're the only one who can get those files off that hard drive. I want to know what Articani is doing and where he is.
I'm giving you an order. Go.
So, yeah, we're getting to come up to Chloe's big moment. Chloe gets to strap on the hardware.
First blood.
Edgar, it's Chloe. Does my panel have a live link?
Another thing is all of our driving sequences are done on a stage with a rear screen projection. So all of the sound of the car noise, the air of the car, is all added. Ken puts all that in to make the illusion complete.
Yeah. Yeah, and you wouldn't think a car makes a lot of noise, but it can. And in order to make it real, you need to hear the street behind the car. Cars going by in the windows. You need to hear maybe a little rattle. Certainly, if it's a SUV, we usually have a little shake in there.
But if I do, I'm going to call you, and I really hope you don't give me so much resistance next time.
Chloe, I know you're scared, and I'll make sure everything is covered on this end.
Why did they ask me to do this? I really hate it.
While you were prepping?
I asked Buchanan if I can go instead of you. He wouldn't let me.
And again, we have...
And then it has to give way to music.
Yeah. It all goes away when the music comes in.
But that's why it works. You establish things, you make them real, but they don't need to beat you over the head.
Now,
until, you know, it's an M16, then it needs to beat you over the head.
Now, this location was interesting. It was a location down in Orange County that was a street that was built for Christmas with the Cranks. The entire street is a set. Because of the gunfight that goes on in here in the later scene, the thought was, where are we ever going to find a neighborhood where people... There's not going to be any place where we can shoot this scene in a neighborhood and have this gunfight because it takes all night to shoot it.
Right.
I think we're here 2 days at this location. But so it was this street. Some, you know, one of our location managers found this street and ended up to be the perfect place to do it.
It's a shooting-only street still?
Yeah. It's this house is actually also at that set. They're practical houses that are on that street. So
you're right. They use blowfish algorithms.
As opposed to having the exterior be on a location and the interior being on stage, this is all the same place.
Algorithm. It shouldn't take that long. We'll start by trying to hack the password. Let's start with the basics. Write down nicknames, birthdays, pets, anything you think you might have used.
Okay. What was that?
I don't know.
Go! Go! Get in here!
Now, a lot of this was added. We did a lot of ADR with Mary Lynn here, who plays Chloe. You know, as far as to keep their efforts going as they're running for cover.
Don't you have a gun?
I work with computers.
Open the door.
That line, I work with computers, had to be looped because there were all kinds of noises on it.
Okay, all right. Jack Curtis, Chloe's on the field.
And so it's important to get them to try and do the same kind of, get to the same energy and emotion where they were and get any movement on the line that's there so it doesn't stick out.
Who are you with?
Mike is fantastic at making the ADR lines fit right in.
Yeah, Mike's ability to work the ADR to where you don't notice it is definitely what makes a lot of the show work with as much ADR that goes into the show.
He's amazing how well he does it, really.
This is Jack Bauer.
And a lot of things change, not just noise, technical problems on a line, but they want to change the line. You want to add a little detail, and it's maybe the location changed or the time that they set it changed, and you want to put that fact in the line.
Right.
But can't change the picture.
That's always a problem with our show. We do that in a lot of scripts we get initially, and they have time. People referring to 10 minutes ago or in 20 minutes we'll be there. And we try and take a lot of those out where, say, a few minutes or while to make them less specific, because many times we end up having to loop those because scenes in the editing process are moved around and may not be near in the same place they were. So we always have to keep the time accurate, so often we loop those.
But there should be weapons stored inside the vehicle.
So during all this phone conversation, this guy's unloading, like, sawed-off shotgun into a bulletproof glass windshield, but you can hear both sides of the phone conversation fine, whereas in real life, you wouldn't hear anything. The other kind of funny thing is, you know, so far, the neighbors haven't been disturbed yet. It's going to take quite a bit more for this street to get upset with this guy out in front of their yard.
It's a rough neighborhood. They're used to it.
But Jeff Witcher is the sound effects editor, and his guns rock. He has, I would say, arguably the best gun library in the business, and he's the guy that lines all the tracks up for me. He's done it since the pilot. All of this, of course, is added. If you would have heard this Jeep running into this car from the production dailies, it sounds like a tin can. There's virtually no sound. That gun is a cap gun. Almost no sound.
Right.
So all of this is augmented, of course.
Yeah.
But the quality of the sound effects from Jeff Witcher, and a lot of what you hear, he actually went out and recorded. Went out and recorded that M16 on a firing range. Mm-hmm. He gets his own sounds, he has his own library, and it's spectacular. Certainly having those types of quality ingredients, from music to the ADR, all the people we work with, all that comes together on the mix stage. If we didn't have the best of the best to work with, we wouldn't have the show. So
that is true. We should mention a few. Bill Dotson is our sound supervisor on the show.
Absolutely.
Does a fantastic job. Kathy Speakman is our ADR supervisor, who sifts through tons of ADR, makes sure it's all working for us. And
Jeff Charbonneau makes sure that there's music for the 2 minutes that weren't scored originally.
He's our music editor and prepares all of Sean Callery's tracks for the stage.
So
a lot.
It's a lot of fun. It's been a good ride so far.